Apologetics, Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls, and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
That's right, Matt Slick. And for you newbies out there, it's not a radio name. It's my real name, Matt Slick. And works great for radio, hence Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, as usual, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Hey, you know what I was just thinking? I'd like some feedback on the radio show. If you want to call in and say, yeah, I really like this show, or you can call in and say, I don't like it at all. Whatever you want to do, I'd be interested in kind of hearing what you had to say. Not a big deal, just kind of curious. And we could always use your support financially because, well, it costs money to put the radio show out there. And all of the stations that it is on, it's on a lot of stations, and we want to expand into even more. We've got some good opportunities on the horizon. We're hoping that'll work. So if, by any chance, you like what I do, Reverend Slick on the radio, doing apologetics and teaching biblical theology and defending the faith according to the Word of God, well, then all you got to do is go to the web, go to carm.org, carm.org. On the right-hand side of any page, you'll find the word donate. Click on that, and you can help us out. And that reminds me, a lady today, we got some mail, and I'm going to email her, and she said that she stopped her support of the show because I said Jesus, his nationality, appearance, whatever, was Middle Eastern European. How about that? And she said I was completely wrong. I wonder how I was wrong by saying that because it's such a wide array of appearance that Jesus could have fit under. We don't know what he really looked like. But hey, you know what? People have their opinions, and that's okay. I just always ask if you've got something you want to say or disagree with, do it with Scripture as best you can, and that would be great. Ah, there you go. We got callers coming in right now, and last night we had some interesting discussions with a black Hebrew Israelite person who called me a child of the devil. That was fun, and we're going to get some audio excerpts out of that. You know, really things like, you're a, what was he said? You white devil. It was like that, you know, it's like, that'd be good to extract, because the black Hebrew Israelite movement, which is growing, unfortunately, which I believe is just a racist movement, using the Bible to justify racism, that's my opinion of it. Basically says white people are of the devil, basically. Not all of them say that, but a lot of them, because there are different divisions in that. So we had this guy in last night discussing that. So we had a Catholic on. We discussed some stuff about Catholicism. And, I've been doing a lot of studying. I've been studying some various epistemological issues related to propositional, how do I put it this way? Propositions as truth bearers, attitudes and truth bearers, and trying to refute the transcendental argument for God's existence. Certain atheists have tried to raise that up. I'm also discussing or studying the issue of knowledge, justification of knowledge, different kinds of knowledge. For me, this is kind of interesting stuff. And I've got more books to read, and not enough time to do it. Yeah, that's what it happens, you know, just busy. Yeah, that's life. That's what the life of an apologist is. All right, having said all of that, we have one open line if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Oliver from Otter Creek, Maine. Hey, Oliver, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
My question...
Hello. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, some weird noises. So my question for you is, how, as a Christian, should I reach out to non-believers? Do I just bring it up randomly out of the blue? I'm not quite sure how to do this.
Well, I don't think there's any particular exact right way to do it, because you're different than me, and your situations differ than my situation. Today, as a matter of fact, my wife and I were at a doctor's appointment for her, and we got talking briefly with the person who, you know, we met about Catholicism. And so the person said it's a Roman Catholic, and I wanted to say something right away, but I kind of didn't, because, well, there's a time that's appropriate. You don't want to overstep your bounds. And besides, you know, I have a lot of knowledge about this stuff, and I don't want to overdo it. So my wife kind of made another comment and opened the door again, and then the person talked, and we talked for a little bit. And so that was one way of doing it. Once, okay. You know, I was getting gas at a gas station, and some guy drives up at a stoplight, and his music was thumping out of the car for everybody for, you know, two states around to hear, and it was full of foul language. Just foul. And so I got a track out of my car, and I ran out into the traffic, you know, safely, of course, and I walked right up to him, scared him, because he didn't, you know, to the side of the car, you know. I walked up to his driver's side. I said, "Hey!"
Yeah.
And he, you know, he was shocked. I said, "Your music is foul, and everybody doesn't need to hear it." And I said, "Here's a track. You need Jesus in your heart and in your life. You need to trust him for the forgiveness of your sins." And he was dumbfounded. And he took the track, and I said, "You need to repent of your sins. Lights turn and go. Bye." And I ran back across the thing. So that's one of the ways of witness. And other times, you know, you just don't say much. You want to live it, depending on the context. So, okay. You know, I gave some extreme example, that last one. But you know what? You just trust God. You pray. You ask to be used. And you do the best you can. And then you... you ask God for forgiveness for not doing it better, which is what I always do, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So don't worry about it. Just do your best and give it a shot.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, man. You know, just do it, okay?
I will.
Good. So let me tell you, folks, I've witnessed so much. You know, I have a shirt that says the word truth on it. I used to have a shirt that says Jesus is God, and I'd wear them out, you know, out in public. I outgrew this one shirt which says, "Ask me the toughest question about God in the Bible." And that's just me. You know, I'm very confident in what I know and my Bible knowledge, and I want to go out and talk to people. I'm not aggressive. It's just, you know, I want to do that. I'm always looking for opportunities. I've witnessed, like I said, at stoplights. I've witnessed... in libraries, I've witnessed in churches, I've witnessed in various contexts of stores, you know. I'm always looking for opportunities to share the gospel. One of the things I'll do is go to, every now and then go to a bookstore and go to the religious section and just walk around and hang around till I see someone in there and see what they're looking at and start conversations. And one time, for example, we did that, and this mom and her new son, who, I mean, her not new son, but a son who had, was just getting old enough to work, had his first job, and it was going to be a night job, and he wanted books to read, and he wanted something religious. And so he was getting these New Age books, and we talked. And I said, "Why don't you try this or that instead of the New Age?" And they literally walked out with good books on Christian stuff instead. See, we can witness any way. And I have a saying, trust and go. Trust him and do your best, and then ask to be better the next time. And don't worry about making mistakes. It's not if, it's when. And just do your best. All right, let's get to James from New Jersey. Hey, James, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. What do you got, buddy?
I got two quick questions. Well, I just wanted to let you know I did watch that thing you did last night. You do with Andrew Rappaport.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I thought you held your cool pretty good.
Oh, with the relativist?
Know, it was challenging. Yeah,
the relativist.
I watched the whole show.
Yeah, the relativist gave up after I cornered him. And the BHI guy, Black Hebrew Israelite guy, he was interesting. Yeah. But I'm glad you watched. Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I love watching you guys, man. I can learn, you know, and you guys are just funny. So my question was on the NRA, because I came out of that denomination, and my question is it biblical?
Wait, the National Rifle Association?
No, the New Apostolic Reformation.
Oh, NAR, sorry. My bad.
Yeah, NA. What did I don't know what I said.
It's all right. It's not a denomination. It's more of a movement. And there's good within it, and there's some not so good within it. And it's coming up more. So I do plan to be doing a lot of research on it. I've got a lot of books. And I went to the Bethel Church in Redding, California last year, checked it out. And I will be doing some extensive analysis on it. So for the most part, I'd be wary of it. Because even though there's a lot of good in it, there's also a lot of not so much good in it. And so when I went to the emphasis of truth takes a back seat to the emphasis of experience. Now, this is real generic, but when my friend Chad Prigmore and I, he's a local pastor here in Boise area, we drove out and we went to the church and we didn't know what door to go into. And so we just found a door. And the first thing, you know, they were really nice. Everybody's really nice. Okay. They're really great, great, great people. The first thing a woman said was, "Are you here for your healing?" No, I'm just checking out the church. And she said, "Oh," and I said, "How about a bookstore?" And she goes, "Oh, it's down that way." So I went over and to the bookstore, and, it reminded me, some of it reminded me of my aberrant Christian theology book section with books that should not be on the shelf, like The Shack, and some other things that were problematic. So, you see, to me, the New Apostolic Reformation is more about emphasis of experience and feeling and finding God in a new way rather than submitting to the strict teaching of the Word of God and working within the parameters of revelation that God has given. So that's a generic summation of it. That's not to say they're not doing some good stuff.
I came out of that church when I was younger. Mm-hmm. They do, right, they do a lot of healing. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of, like, odd stuff, like you have to prophesy over one another, and mm-hmm. an animal, like a vision of an animal of the person.
Vision of an animal? What's this?
Yeah, yeah, like, we used to, like, if you got, like, name your animal or something, like a lion.
They were doing this?
I don't know. Really? Yeah, when I was younger, in South Jersey, we used to get in groups and like try to get a vision of an animal for a person, and like an eagle, and you see the person flying, and it was some odd things like that.
Yeah, that's occultic. And Eastern mysticism that's creeping in. This is why it comes down to this. If you don't put the Bible as the standard of truth, and I mean the standard of truth, then you're going to end up in error. The more you put your faith and your trust in the revealed, inspired Word of God, the better off you're going to be. And the more you take your eyes off of that, the less better off you're going to be. And so that's why we'll have cults. That's why we have Roman Catholicism. That's why we have Eastern Orthodox. That's why we have all kinds of things. Even within the Christian church, even within Protestantism, there's a lot of heresies that are being taught in Protestant churches, and they don't even know they're heresies because they put feelings above the Word of God. In fact, I was just talking to a friend of mine named Bill, Bob Pilch, actually, and he does the same thing I do. He'll quote scripture to Protestant. He's a Protestant. I'm a Protestant. We'll quote scripture to people, and they'll say, "No, I don't believe that." But what he's doing is not saying, you know, John 3:16 says. He'll say blah blah blah. He just quotes a verse without them knowing he's quoting it, and he'll just quote it. I do the same thing, and a lot of Christians will just reject what the Word of God says. And so, you know, for example, I'll say, God, I believe God would make people for the, you know, make the wicked for the day of destruction. And they go, "He would never do that." But I've just quoted Proverbs 16:4. And I say, "Well, that's what it says." You know, and so you can find out that this has to do with, are they being taught an agenda or are they being taught scripture? And that's the thing. All right, buddy?
All right, thanks. I'll call back tomorrow, man.
All right, James, call back. Well, how about Monday? We'll be on tomorrow. Hey, folks, there's the music. Got a break. Stay tuned. Be right back after these messages.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's get to Courtney from Houston, Texas. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I have a bit of a dilemma that I'm helping. I'm hoping that you can help me sort out. It's a Bible study, and that's where I learned apologetics. And I love this Bible study. I love the men that's in it. Okay. And a matter of fact, one of the guys there is courting me. And, you know, of course, courting, you know, hopefully leads to marriage. And the Bible study leader is somebody that he's been really close with for years. I mean, like 12 years. And I just found out that the Bible study leader, because I'm close with him as well, believes that it's okay because to hit a woman in certain circumstances, because in the Bible it says it doesn't say that you can't hit women, and he said it's only in extreme cases like adultery, and that it's almost not loving them if you don't do it.
I'd like to have a discussion with him, and in you know behind the house we can talk about it in an alley. See about hitting. You know, I'm joking. The thing is,
Give him a lot of love back there, right?
Yeah, I'll give him some of that hitting love back. Of course, that's not what I'm just joking around. I'm just saying, but the thing is
no,
you don't do that. Christ would not sit there and strike a woman. And he's supposed to emulate Christ to a wife. Mm-hmm. And if he's going to advocate striking a woman, forget that. The only times I would say it would be acceptable is if it was to prevent serious harm. You know, you hit her to move her out of the way of something. You know, something like that where it's justified. But we're not talking about that.
Exactly.
We're talking about, you know, commit adultery or something like that and you hit her. No. I'd be all over a guy who did that to a woman. And and most men.
Yeah, and the problem is like he was saying he's five levels above me, using his knowledge of the Bible as a
really?
Reasoning to discount
okay.
what I was saying.
I'll tell you what, you go to this Bible study, put me on a speakerphone, and let's have a Bible study, and I'll be on this, I am not joking.
Okay.
Get you on Skype,
okay.
or on speakerphone on a phone, and I will ask him, show me where striking a wife is acceptable in Scripture. Show it to me.
And
he
that's
will not
what
be
I asked him, right? But his, yeah. But his response to that is that it doesn't say you can't hit your wife.
It
but
doesn't
said,
say.
You know, Jesus says to love.
It
yeah.
doesn't say I can't tie him into you know tie him up and make his hair into braids either. It doesn't say I can't go in and you know put his shirt on backwards. Just because it says it can't
yeah.
do it doesn't mean it's okay to do it. It's stupid. What he's saying is absolute stupidity, and he should not
yeah,
be leading in a Bible study. He's not qualified to lead a Bible study if that's what he's saying. Period.
And my boyfriend. That's courting me agrees with this, and he
no,
was
no,
telling
no, no.
me that my boyfriend was telling me. I know
no.
he was telling me he was like, well, back in the old days in the Old Testament, they stoned women, and then Jesus whipped the money exchangers in the temple. You know that was loving.
Okay.
Says Jesus loves the church. He was like he okay. was loving them by whipping the money exchangers.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
I know.
You can't marry this guy. You need to break it off
yeah.
with this guy. Because all that's going to happen
well,
is if he's, hold, let me tell you, if his
yeah.
attitude is that it's okay to strike a woman under these kind of circumstances, then you're courting a guy who has the idea that it's okay to be physically aggressive and striking and hurting a woman. And that is absolutely wrong. In the Old Testament, the stoning was in the context, I'm going to tell you theologically, and these guys do not know what they're talking about. They need to be soundly rebuked. And you should bring this to the elders of the church who need to correct them on this and remove them from their teaching position. And this man you're dating, you need to break it off with him until he gets it right and he comes to a place of full repentance. And I'd be glad to talk to him over the phone and set him straight. This is a serious issue.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, the stoning of people for adultery and other things was in a theocratically run system where God was assuring the moral purity of Israel in order to guarantee the arrival of the Messiah. And Jesus, in the New Testament, what he did in the temple, was to overturn the money tables because they were selling the grace of God. And this was a great yeah. sin, and it was my Father's house that he had entered into, as he had said earlier, don't you know I'll be with my Father? And so he knew the temple was the temple of his Father, and he had righteous indignation to go against the false religious teachers of the time and overturn the temple tables. That's what he did in that context. Now, Romans 8:13 and Romans 9:15-16, the Old Testament covenant is abrogated by the New Testament arrival, and that New Testament arrival is signified by the death of Christ. So now we're in the New Testament covenant. The Old Testament theocratic system of stoning, etc., is no longer in place because it's not a political, theologically run system. Now, in the New Testament, we are told to turn the other cheek. We are told to be loving and gracious and kind. And we are told to love our wives as we love ourselves. And so what I tell people when I do marriage counseling, I say to the wife, you're to love your husband as though he were Christ. You're to respect him as though he's Christ. And we talk about that really means and working it out, but that's the goal. And the husband, I say, you are to love her as Jesus would love her. Because she's the object of your love, the way Christ is we're the object of love from Christ. You're to treat her the same way. And I would ask, would Jesus ever strike a woman? And maybe in the book of Second Maronicles, this is ridiculous. And so if he'd say, well, you know, it doesn't say he can't. Well, it doesn't say I can't come over there and, trip you, just to trip you, because I know martial arts. So I could trip you and do a wrist lock and throw you into the wall. It doesn't say I can't do that either. So I guess I can do it, because it doesn't say I can't. So this kind of argumentation, yeah. You don't argue from what it does not say. You argue from what it does say. And what it does say, yeah. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Would Jesus ever strike a woman? Even an adulterous woman. What did he do? He told her, don't do it again.
Yeah.
He loved her. So these guys are being brainwashed. They need to be corrected by the elders of the church, first of all. You can't be dating this guy. Sorry, but this is my advice. You can't be dating this guy if he's holding that position. You break it off with him and say, Reverend Slip on the radio said so. And you can have him call me. You can email me, and give us the number. I will call him. You put me on in the Bible study, and we'll have a discussion. I mean, this is serious.
I would love that. We have Bible study on Mondays. And,
Monday night.
It's not a church. It's more of it's a home Bible study.
Home Bible study.
And the mentor is the leader. Yeah.
The mentor is the leader who believes it's okay to strike women. Get me on. Yeah. Don't even tell them. Just speakerphone. You know? You email me, Matt, at info@carm.org, okay? Or you can go Matt@carm.org, okay? Matt@carm.org can email me and say, I'm the woman who talked about this striking the woman, and I'll know what it is, and you give me your phone number, and I'll give you my phone number, and on Monday night, you tell me what time and where, and a whole bit, I will be available on my phone. And I would just suggest, click. Hey, guys, I got a guy in the speakerphone who wants to ask a question. And I'd say, hey, is it okay to beat your wife? Is
yeah,
it okay?
Yeah.
Because in Islam, in the Quran, in Surah 434, it's actually designated, it's okay to beat your wife.
I know.
So, are they going all Islamic on you now?
That's how I feel.
Oh, man.
And they tell
sometimes
me if I don't do certain things, I don't have to worry about it. And I'm like,
because they are so lame sometimes. I want to tell them, just like, what's that show with the psychologist years ago? He goes, stop it, I need to keep recording with that. Okay, sorry. This guy, this stuff pushes my buttons, okay?
Thank
All right, Courtney?
You. Yes.
Be there.
Have a good day.
I lose you. Maybe I lost her. All right, we'll move along. You know, folks, husbands, let me tell you something. We don't do it perfectly. I certainly don't do it perfectly, but let me tell you.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Okay, I know what happened. We got disconnected. All right. Can you hear me now? Because you know what? I know what happened. We're getting it figured out for folks. I apologize for that. Let's get to Eric from California. Eric, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. This is the second or third time the Comrex has just disconnected on its own. And so my apologies.
Oh, wow,
that's what happened. Yeah, it just on its own gave up. So... now to start, anyway, that's what happened. I just reconnected it.
Yeah.
So it's a tech problem we'll have to solve.
Back online, so.
But we're back online. Okay, man, sorry about that. What do you got, buddy?
Yeah, so I tried to talk to you the other day about the Book of Enoch, and from watching a lot of your videos, I know that you're really good with, logic and using, syllogisms, so I decided to... Maybe it would be easier so you can focus on the premises.
No, you're not. Now, what happened? I talked about you to someone else about this, and I showed you information which you dismissed. And the issue of Enoch being scripture is is off the table because it's not scripture. The Jewish church never, the Jewish community never recognized it as scripture. The early church never recognizes it as scripture. And it's just not scripture. You believe it is. You're entitled to your opinion. And I ask you specifically, are you the one who's right and the entire Christian church is wrong? Because that's what you're saying. So are you correct and the entire Christian church is incorrect about the Book of Enoch?
Well, if the evidence shows...
All right. What we're going to do is move along, folks, because when someone won't answer a direct question, I know, I've done this so many times, that I ask a question and they don't answer it. They go on to something else. That means that's what's going to happen continually. I've done this so many thousands of times. They don't answer a question. And I don't want to waste airtime simply arguing with a guy to try and get him to answer a simple question. And so if they don't do that, trust me, I've got experience in this. It's not worth having a conversation with them, at least not on the radio. What we'll do now is, interesting. Let's get to Rohan from India. Hey, Rohan, welcome to the show.
Hello, Brother Matt.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Hello.
What do you got, man?
What is your experience with the gift of prophecy in your life? In your personal life?
What is the gift of prophecy?
Hello?
Yes. The gift of prophecy.
What is your experience with the gift of prophecy in your life?
My experience with it? Well, yes.
Have you ever experienced the gift of prophecy?
Yes. Yes, I have. Yep.
So can you share it?
Yes, I can. I was at a Bible study, and a girl needed to go home, and so I said, I'll take you home, and we're driving to her place. And she said she needed a certain book that she wanted to research. And so I said, oh, I got one in my place. So we're at my place, and I handed her the book, and she said, thank you. And I said, well, what do you need all this for? And she said, in 2 weeks, she was going to go to Australia on a mission. And immediately... I still remember saying this. I still remember everything about it very clearly. I looked at her and I just said, you're not going to go. What's going to happen is you're going to stay. In 5 months, you're going to meet a guy. He's going to become your spiritual mentor and he will teach you. And then in 18 months, you and he will have a special bond and together you will do mission work. And then all of a sudden, I was done. And I was stunned by what I said, but I knew it was true. She was stunned. 2 weeks later, she got on a plane and went to Australia on her mission. And then I thought, okay, well, I don't know what that was. It was bad pizza I ate the night before. You know, I thought it was wrong. And then I got word the next day that she got off the plane in Australia and knew she was not supposed to be there. She got back on the plane and flew back to the United States. 5 months later, she met a guy. He became her spiritual mentor. At 18 months later, they got married, and they went to England and did missionary work together. Everything that I said came to pass, even within the month declaration of range. That's the only time it's happened like that, specifically. Okay?
So when you were speaking these words to her, was the Spirit of God bringing these words in your mouth, or how do you felt at that time in your heart?
All I can tell you is that I had another experience that was similar, and it was the same kind of thing. I was at a swap meet ministry, and a man came up and started talking to me about some certain things in his life and how he was rebelling against the Lord. He didn't use the word rebel, but I knew that's what it was by what he was saying. And I said, well, you need to, you know, come back and you need to understand what this says. And we're talking, and the same presence, assurance, and knowledge and confidence overwhelmed me. And I started to tell this guy things that I wouldn't normally have known about his relationship with God in the areas of what he had been complaining about and accusing God of. And his eyes bugged out of his sockets. He was so flabbergasted. You could see that he was very affected. And I still remember him stumbling backwards at my words, and his jaw dropped open. And I just knew I was right. And then then all of a sudden this presence left again, and that was it. He walked off. He literally stumbled a little as he walked off. You could tell he was visibly shaken. So that was a second time that something like that had happened. Okay.
Thank you so much for sharing these things with us, Matt. And I wanted to know more about Antichrist. I mean, you believe that a literal Antichrist will come. And so my question is, how are we going to recognize him? And what are the things which he is going to do?
We'll recognize him by studying the scriptures. And the prophecy in 2 Thessalonians 2 is that the Antichrist will arrive concomitantly with the apostasy of the Christian church. The apostasy means a falling away. Now we can go to some Old Testament prophecies, and it looks like he'll be struck on the right side of his head, probably, and his right eye will be blind and his right arm will be withered, and it'll be a kind of a resurrection. And it also implies in the Old Testament, I forgot exactly where, that his desire will not be for women but will be for men. So one theory is that he's going to be homosexual. And what he's going to do is that he's going to be a great orator and a great communicator. And he's going to bring peace to between Islam and Catholicism and Judaism and things like that. I say Catholicism because Catholicism is the largest religion in the world, and it's so apostate, people don't know how bad it really is. And hold on, we got a break. Let me fill you in on more after the break and why I say this. So, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We'll get back to Rohan from India right after these messages.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show. Rohan from India, you still there?
Yes, sir. Still here.
All right. I actually forgot what I was talking about before the break because I've had to contact consult person. Go ahead. Talking about yes?
Yes, Antichrist. We were talking about the Antichrist.
Oh, yeah.
How are we going to recognize
him? Yes, we'll recognize him by the false teachings. And that you, in order to recognize him,
is he going to come to the Christian church?
What's that?
Is he going to come as a false prophet to the Christian church?
Yes, a lot of the Christian church will believe him. And, a lot will, because they don't understand the sufficiency and necessity of studying the inspired Word of God. The more we move away from the supremacy of God's Word as the final authority, then the more we're going to move towards, or they will move towards, feelings and experience in place of the Word of God. You go to Genesis 3, 1 through 6, where the first thing that happened was Satan talked to Eve and doubted God's Word. And once the Word of God was doubted, then she used her experience, her desires, to see that the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was good to eat from. So she, after rejecting God's Word and the sufficiency of it and the obedience to His Word and revelation, she then subjected truth to her own experience. And then sin was a result of this, as Adam ate. So this is what's happening in the Christian church. And I know it's happening in India. I know that the NAR is moving there. I know it's moving into Africa. I know the positive confession movement is there. They want people to judge truth by experience. You know, women pastors and elders are not supposed to be in the church. And I can't tell you how many times I've had people tell me, oh, but Pastor, Judy or Karen is really good at what she does. In other words, they're judging truth by experience and not by the Word of God. And so this is a problem. And it's growing in the Christian church. And it's this kind of thing that will lead to apostasy. And the Roman Catholic Church is already apostate, as is the Eastern Orthodox, but more and more the Protestant movement is becoming apostate as we have more and more heresies occurring in it as well. Okay,
Brother, can you please direct me to some resources on Antichrist and end times?
Yeah, go to CARM and look up end time stuff. And there's an end time section. Questions about, I think I have one on eschatology. No, I don't. Yes, I do. End times. Let's go to the section of end times under questions, and you'll see lots of articles there. All right? Should help you. Okay, buddy?
Thank you.
All right, man. God bless. That's buddy. Rohan from India. Oh, that's awesome. Let's get over to the next longest person. No, I think it's this person, Christian from Nevada. We lost him. Let's get over to Rebecca from Richmond, Virginia. Hey, Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, God, I want to give you some feedback. I love your show. I listen to it every night on the way home from work.
Oh, good.
And I especially love when you quote Moronicles.
Oh, yeah. Second Moronicles. Yes.
Yeah.
It's next to the book of Deuterectomy. So.
Yeah. That stupidest husbandist.
Yes, and, yeah, that's yeah. Well, my wife has stupidest husband does. It's another problem she's dealing with. But
oh, poor thing.
Yeah, poor woman, and that's
well,
the worst of all things.
I need to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking to the lady who had the Bible study, the home
yes.
Bible study, and the
yes.
leader of the Bible study, you mm-hmm. know, was talking about mm-hmm. hitting women.
Right.
I know in the Bible. You know, acceptable reason for divorce is adultery or abandonment.
Right.
But what if you have an abusive spouse?
That's a form of
is
abandonment.
Is that not a reason?
Let's just say,
oh, okay.
Because, see, the way it was done in the Old Testament times and in the early New Testament times is, and I remember reading about this in a commentary, that let's say a man strikes his wife and hurts her. Well, the wife's cousins and or brothers went over and had a discussion with the man about this. And then the wife would nurse him back to health. And so they didn't put up with that. And it wasn't supposed to be the case. So even though it doesn't say anything about striking, because, well, that's not what men are supposed to do, and they really didn't do that. But if a man is beating on his wife, he needs to be arrested and jailed, flat out. And he needs to go to therapy and the whole bit. And then this is where we need to get the elders of the church involved, and then, you know, severe interaction and intercession needs to occur. And
well,
you know,
what if
I don't
he's
say,
unequally yoked? So he won't go to the church and respect what they say.
She needs to protect herself, and there would be, I don't advocate this lightly, but only when a person is and it could happen either way, because it does happen where the men are beaten by the wives, not as much, but it does. I've read statistics.
Right, right.
So either way, then the person needs to guarantee their own safety and the safety of the children and leave that situation or force the other one out in order to absolve that situation of any tension. And then the church elders need to be involved, and then they work it, because each situation is different. If this person threatens the wife, if I find you, I'm going to do this and that, he's essentially breaking the marriage covenant. And even though the Bible doesn't say it's a grounds for divorce, I tend to imply or lean towards the idea that that is a, you know, approaching the issue of abandonment, because you're abandoning the covenant relationship that you had to protect. And
absolutely.
If you're doing the opposite,
yeah.
So, and that's why the elders need to be involved at that point and make a recommendation based on what they see according to the scriptures. It's a tough one, because I don't advocate divorce. I do not. But it's permissible, according to Matthew 19:9, for adultery, and it's permissible by abandonment in 1 Corinthians 7:15. Okay?
Okay. Well, I wondered why that wasn't directly addressed. So if it would fall under that, then... And certainly you would have abandoned the covenant if you did
right.
that. So,
right.
Yeah,
it's a
that
form
makes
of abandonment.
Sense.
And I'm not trying to stretch that very far, because it doesn't say that. But then it doesn't talk about this issue as well. So how do we deal with it? Well, I would never say to a woman, stay in your house and get beaten up by this guy. Never. You know, he needs to be gone, or you need to be gone, protect the children. And then... You know, a lot of counseling and a lot of work has to go in through with the church at that point. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. And then...
All right. And oh, one more quick thing.
Sure.
I'm sorry. You know, when you say, you point out when you're debating with other people that they've taken a verse out of context.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. what... what if we feel like I had something on my heart and I've been praying about it, and then I got a verse of the day from my Bible, you know, app, and it directly, you know, made me feel better, and I felt it applied to my personal situation. It was Jeremiah 30:17. Okay. But then if I went ahead, then I went to Jeremiah, of course, and read the whole chapter, and that was so out of context, I can't even tell you. So what do you do with that?
Well, let me say that God has an interesting way sometimes of communicating things to us by using his word. And since I do affirm that God can certainly do that, that you might see a verse that doesn't seem contextually to apply, but by itself it does, and you go, whoa, it's more than a coincidence, generally speaking, that seems to be exactly what I was praying about and nobody knew. So with those things, I say, it sounds like it's from you, Lord, even though the context doesn't really specifically say so. But this kind of a thing seems to happen in the New Testament when it quotes the Old Testament, where the inspiration of God through the prophets, through the apostles, is they will take a verse out of the Old Testament, and you're going, but that doesn't, contextually, not really exactly, but that's what they're applying it to. So they have the right to do that because it's by inspiration. We don't. So whenever something like this happens, we have to be very, very careful. And I always ask for confirmation.
Right.
And I say, Lord, I think you're trying to tell me something here. And there's nothing wrong with you get a verse out of nowhere in your head, and all of a sudden it answers specifically. I've had that happen to me too. And you read the context, and you go, okay. If the context is opposite it, then I take it with a lot more grain of salt. But me, I need two. Okay. I need two events to establish something. I need two witnesses. And so then, you know, the second thing, if the sky opens up and a plane is writing a verse in the air, you know, I'll come down. I gotcha.
I wish that were happening.
So God can do it, but always be wary. Always look at context. And yet, God does work sometimes that way in strange ways, as we who are Christians know. He has ways of communicating to you that get your attention. But it has to be consistent with Scripture. Okay?
Okay, but asking for confirmation or a second cue is not disbelieving or, you know, not showing lack of faith.
No, because the Bible says by two witnesses the truth is established. So if you can find a second one, okay, then it's pretty much from God. If it's one, well then maybe, maybe not. And it's okay to say maybe, maybe not. And that's all. You move forward and you continue to trust God. That's all. Because sometimes we just don't know for sure.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you.
All right. God bless, Rebecca. Let's get over to Emmanuel from Campbell, California. Hey, Emmanuel. Welcome to the show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. All right. What do you got?
I was wondering about the love of God and limited atonement.
Yeah. What about it? Yes.
I was wondering, what's the more consistent position that does God, I guess when it comes to in connection with the love of God, is the love of God only for the elect?
No.
Salvifically?
Salvifically, yes. But God loves the world generically, and you can find that in Matthew 5:43-48. And that's specifically talked about, that God loves everyone there that way. But it also says in Psalm 5:5 and Psalm 11:5 that God hates all who do iniquity. So there's a hatred with God as well as a love with God. So how do we harmonize those? Well, he loves everybody generically and by showing providential care for them, the sun, the rain, and things like that, which was what Matthew 5:43-48 says. And we're instructed to love everybody because that's how God loves everybody in that sense, of provision and safety and things like that. But yet, and like I said, Psalm 5:5, Psalm 11:5, God hates all those who do iniquity. And there is, according to Colossians 2:15? I believe it says there, I'm not so sure, but anyway, 2:15, where it says there's enmity between God and man. That means there's a hatred between. And so these are the words that the scriptures speak. Yet, it says, John 3:16, God so loved the world. that he gave his only begotten son. Well, the word world there must mean all the nations, not just Israel, because Jesus was covenantally sent only to Israel per his statement in Matthew 15:24. He wasn't sent to the whole world. He's only sent to Israel. And so because Israel covenantally rejected the Messiah, we, the Gentiles, are grafted in. Hence, God loves the whole world, not just Israel. So it's a tough question. And he loves the elect salvifically. He loves the unelect providentially. Okay? There we go.
Thank you.
All right, man. God bless. Sorry, we had more time to unpack that, but that's why I was going quickly. That's a theology of Scripture, folks. That's what it says. Those are the references. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, be back on the air Monday. Have a great time in church. Pray, tithe. And, okay. See ya. God bless. Bye.